seemed like every time I have a message sort of like this, the devil fights the service, and he's been fighting the service today. If you're here today and you're not saved, or if there's any question in your mind about your salvation, you pay real close attention to what I'm going to preach this morning. Had this thought on my mind just for the last couple of weeks, and it really kind of burdened me. Because sometimes, you know, you get up and you got messages that the Lord lays on your heart to preach, and sometimes you just can't hardly wait to get to church to preach it. Sometimes you kind of dread preaching it. But you preach it because that's what God says do.
Amen.
So this is one of those type messages. So you pray hard. Amen. I'm going to start this off by saying I love you. And I appreciate this church. I appreciate what God does here. But sometimes we have to be shaken by the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah 53, if you're there, let's stand in honor of God's Word. I'm going to read verse 4 through verse 6. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord, now listen, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Let's pray. God, we love You. Lord, we come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You for the reading of Your Word, Lord, and I pray right now, Lord, You'd help us as we continue to read a little bit, God, and preach this message. Lord, speak to hearts. God, make this real for us today. We love You. Thank You for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 27, verse 45, says this, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says this, "But God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him." Amen. Revelation chapter 20, the Bible tells us about the great white throne judgment. "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now let me ask you, I want to make a statement. This is what God laid on my heart just a few weeks ago. If God poured out His wrath on His own Son, what will He do to sinners who don't repeat? If God poured out His wrath on His own Son, what will He do, or what will happen to sinners who refuse or reject Jesus Christ?
Amen.
This is a serious thing this morning. You know, the love of God is awesome, and I thank God. But you, a lot of times, if we're not careful, all we talk about is the love of God, the love of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. And I thank God for God's mercy and God's love. But you got to understand, above all else, God is holy.
Yeah.
above all else, God is righteous. That's one thing we make, at the cross, we see both the love of God and the wrath of God. Jesus didn't die because he deserved to die. Jesus died because he took your place and my place, and the wrath was put upon him. Those who refuse Jesus will still suffer the wrath of God. The cross is not evident that God will overlook your sin, but cross is evident that God will punish your sin. Now, let's just look at just a few things this morning. The wrath of God is real. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." God's wrath is not uncontrolled anger. You see, that's a human response. We get mad and we fly off the handle. We get mad and we say things and do things that we regret. God, but you got to understand, God's wrath is a holy response to sin. God is holy above all else. If we're not careful, we want to get hung up on the mercy and the love of God. But God is holy above all else. And the wrath of God is not uncontrolled anger. Sin demands judgment. And God's holiness cannot overlook sin. He did not overlook sin before the flood. And he's not going to overlook sin in 2026. The wrath of God is real, and the wrath of God will be poured out on those that do not repent. And the thing about it is, we're all guilty before God, every last one of us. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every last one of us, if you stand before a holy God without Jesus, you will suffer the wrath of God. Brother Melvin said something before service started. He said, some people say something to the effect of repenting, standing before God. When you stand before God, it's going to be too late to repent. The wrath of God is real. See, we live in a country where we don't hardly ever see anything like this. Everybody's politically correct now. This Bible ain't politically correct. It's straight down the middle. The wrath of God is real. Jesus took the wrath of God for us. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." That word bruise right there, and I thought about it, you know, and Brother David's going to know what I'm getting ready to say. Sometimes I believe the scholars got it wrong with the King James Bible, because some of the words don't give the umph that it really needs. And the Bible says right there, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That word bruise right there, it means to crumble. To bruise literally or figuratively, to beat in pieces, to break in pieces, to crumble, to destroy, to oppress, and to smite. That's what Jesus went through on the cross for you and I. God poured out his wrath on Jesus so that you and I wouldn't have to take it. Jesus stood in of his own free will. He became a substitute. He took our punishment. He took our guilt. Hey, it was all poured out on him. Every ounce of alcohol, every drug, everything that's ever been done, every ungodly act that's ever been done was all poured out on Jesus. All that punishment was poured out on Jesus on the cross so that you and I don't have to die and go to hell. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." I don't know. I've heard scholars talk about why it got dark. And I don't really know why it got dark, Gavin. Melvin, I don't know why it got dark. But the only thing I can think of, I believe God let it get dark so that mankind wouldn't really see what Jesus had to go through. Amen. You think about that. We've seen people punished. We've seen people beaten. We've seen people go through stuff. But what Jesus went through on that cross, hey, no man had ever seen it before or since. And you got to understand, the Bible says that Jesus cried in Matthew 27, verse 40, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God cannot have fellowship with sin. And when God, I'm not saying that somebody said, well, they don't believe God turned his back on his son. I'm just telling you, God cannot have fellowship with sin. At that point was the only time in history that Jesus was separated from the Father, and he was taking on all the wrath that God was going to pour on sinners. He was taking on my guilt. He was taking on my wrath. He was taking on your guilt and your wrath all on that cross. Now, if God didn't spare his own son, what's going to happen to humanity? If God didn't spare his own son, Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all. God showed no favoritism with that cross. You got to understand, a holy God is not going to show favoritism for humanity. He's not going to show favoritism for nobody. If he spared not his own son, Jesus took it all. Justice was satisfied right there. Sin was punished on that cross. And the thing about it is, Jesus took it willingly. Yeah. Matthew 26, verse 39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Jesus knew what it was going to take to free us. Jesus knew what it was going to take so that you and I didn't have to die and go to hell. And Jesus himself said it. Greater love has no man than a man would lay down his life for his friends. How much did Jesus love you? How much did Jesus love us? And see, the thing about it is, we if we're not careful, we make light of sin. We laugh at sin. We laugh at things we ain't got no business laughing at. I'm just being honest. I mean, what used to make people blush, they laugh at now. Sin ought not be measured by what we think sin is. Sin ought to be measured by what it took on that cross to free you from it. And if God poured out his wrath on his own son because of sin, what's going to happen to humanity? What's going to happen to each and every one of us? The thing about it is, when we reject, now let me tell you something. I've said stuff like this before. I cannot give my son. I cannot give my son for you to die. I'm just telling you, if it took me giving my son or one of my grandkids or somebody in my family, all y'all would go to hell. That's it. Get honest. Get honest. But God gave his own son. And then God, then God poured out the wrath on him. God did that. And the Bible says it pleased him to bruise him, because that was going to be the price for you and I to make it to heaven. That was going to be the price. And you got to understand something. If I did all that, if I did all that for you, and I loved you enough to give my son, and I loved you enough to pour that wrath out on my son, and I loved you enough so that my son went through all that for you, and then you reject my son?
Come on. Yeah, come on.
Brother Terry, it'd be bad. It would be bad. For people that reject God's Son, the wrath of God is going to fall. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There's only two places for the wrath of God. Number one was on Jesus at Calvary, and number two is on the sinner at judgment. Let me go and tell y'all something. Hell is not an overreaction. Hell is judgment. See, a lot of people, we talk all kind of, you know, that's the righteous judgment of a holy God for rejecting his Son. The great white throne judgment awaits sinners who reject God's Son. The great white throne judgment, I read about that a while ago. I'm just telling you, folks, people are going to stand before Jesus Christ. They're going to be able to look at Jesus Christ when they stand before him. I believe they're going to see all the scars that he went through. I believe he's going to look just like he did when he got off that cross. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you something. When I'm standing there before him, hey, it's going to be too late to repent then, amen. You got to understand, sir, you better repent now. You better make sure it's all right now before you ever get to that point. Now, if you're here this morning, and there's any doubt in your mind about your salvation and about your standing with God, I wouldn't leave this building before I made sure everything was all right. I'm going to go ahead and tell you something, Christians. If you're saved, you better line up with God. You better get where you need to be. Because God's wrath can fall on Christians. But see, you got time right now. Right now, God's mercy is greater than God's wrath right now. Amen. Right now, God's mercy is better than tomorrow's wrath. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is still offering grace right now. God is still offering love right now. God, hey, God's wrath is being held back right now. And thank God, I can tell you a place about 40 years ago when I got down on my knees and I asked God to save me. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, I was set apart. Hey, I've not been perfect. Hey, there's been a lot of time since then that God had to come down and get my attention. But thank God the wrath of God does not abide with me anymore. Amen. Because I know I'm saved. I know when something happens, I know I'm going to heaven. And if that's you today, you ought to be worshiping and thanking God that you ain't got to worry about the wrath of God. But if you're not saved, if you don't have that peace.
Come on, preacher. Yeah. Come on.
If God poured out his wrath on his own Son, what will he do to humans that reject his Son? See, one day grace is going to give way to judgment. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, that today is the day of salvation. You're not promised tomorrow. There's not one of us promised tomorrow. If you go out into eternity without your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then hell's going to be your home. Let me go ahead and tell you something. I don't care what the Pope says. I don't care what the Catholics say. There ain't no such place as purgatory. When you die, the Bible says as the tree falls, that's how it's going to lay. When you die, that's it. That's it. Let me ask you a question. What are you trusting in this morning? What are you trusting in this morning? If God poured out his wrath on his own Son, what's he going to do to those who reject him? I want you to bow your heads with me.